Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. And if you're listening live, I want to welcome you. It is about noon, well, about 11 a.m. Pacific time, on the 19th of May. Already, I can't believe May is running away with us. This year has weirdly gone really fast and really slow. I know, that makes no sense at all, but I think you might get what I'm saying. Hey, Suzanne. I want to let you know that I am live streaming this event. You can find that over on YouTube. Just look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. I usually stream on Facebook too, but my streaming platform struggled to connect with Facebook today. I don't know why, but I guess it doesn't matter. We're here anyway. So, and of course, I'm over in the chat room over at 12radio.com. And you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. And just click on the chat button, and that would be the way to do so. So that's what's up. I'm going to put a link in the chat room to the live stream in case you would rather watch than listen. And just so you know, 12radio is continuing to transition all of our shows onto YouTube only. So if you're not following our advisors over on YouTube and checking out their shows there, you're going to want to do that so you don't lose connection with anybody as we keep working on that transition. It's not happening right now, but over the course of the summer, it sounds like that's where we're headed. So be sure that you do start following us on YouTube. And if you don't know how to use YouTube or haven't done that before, this would be a good time to give that a little shot. So on YouTube, when you find somebody that you want to keep contact with, you can subscribe to their show or to their channel. And then there's also a little alert button that you can hit so that you'll get a message every time that person has new content or goes live. And that's really helpful as well. So those are ways to use YouTube to your advantage if you want to. I hope you guys had a great weekend. Oh my God, you guys. I absolutely humiliated myself at the cardiologist's office this week. Oh my God. And believe it or not, this is the second time I have done something embarrassing in that office, which obviously means I can't ever go back. But so I had a cardiology appointment on Thursday, and good news, all is well. My heart looked great. I do have to wear a monitor for a couple of weeks to just check my rhythms, but he felt like everything was good. So all good news. But okay. Should I go back and tell you about the first time I embarrassed myself there first? We might as well be chronological, right? So the first time I went to that office was back when Mars was in high school. And you know how kids in high school, like teenagers, everything their parents do is embarrassing, you know? Well, this is a super busy office. At the time, there was not another cardiology office in our entire community, so this was where people went. So they are just packed. And Mars and I were in there in the afternoon. So they were really, really busy. And we waited for my appointment for 2 hours. So we're in the super busy office, waiting and waiting and waiting. Almost just nearly standing room only in the waiting room. And do you guys remember how Facebook, when they first started having videos on Facebook, how when you would scroll through your phone, those videos would just immediately start playing? They had that autoplay feature. And if you didn't have your phone silenced, like, it would, you know, blare something out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So poor Mars, much to her horror, I'm sitting there and I open up my phone and start to scroll. And my phone shouts to the waiting room, "Should men wear underwear?" Like, I don't even know what that ad was. I about killed myself trying to get my phone silenced. Mars was so mad at me and so embarrassed. And yes, lots of people turned and looked at me and, you know, wondered what the hell I was listening to, as did I. And also, let's be real. Yes, they fucking should, Facebook. Come on. But anyway, she was so pissed off at me that for years, every time she'd go anywhere with me, she would take my phone and make sure everything was silenced because she didn't trust me. So that was the first incident I had in that doctor's office. So on Thursday, Scott and I went in. I made Scott go with me because I find doctors to be less mean to me if my husband's with me. And I know that's an insane thing to say. And they shouldn't be mean to you anyway, but especially specialists, they can be really hard sometimes. And my experience has been when my husband's with me, I get a lot more respect than when I'm by myself. So I had never seen this particular doctor before. I haven't been into this office in like 8 years. So yeah, damn right my husband's coming with me because you just don't know. As it turned out, the doctor was fantastic. He was wonderful. I suspect he would have been just as fine had I been alone, but back up. Anyway, but that has nothing to do with what happened. Here's what happened. You know, when you first go to a new doctor, you have to give them your driver's license and insurance card, right? So my driver's license and insurance card are always stored in my phone case. I have the wallet thing because I would never keep a purse safe. I would lose it, multiple times a week. I can't be trusted. I know this. So it's all in a phone wallet. That's much better for me. So I pull out those things and I hand them to the receptionist. And she sits there kind of with a funny look on her face. And then she takes my insurance card and peels something off of it and hands it back to me. And it is this. If you're not watching live and listening, it's a little business card that says Quiet Piggy on it. When we got our new laser back in December, they have these practice business cards. And Scott made this just as a joke because we'd been saying it to each other. And then I hung on to it because I thought I might want to use it on my kids from time to time, which I have. But, yeah, I told the receptionist at the cardiologist's office, Quiet Piggy. I was so embarrassed. And I laughed so hard. And I told her, I said, oh my God, I didn't realize that was stuck to my insurance card. That was not for you. Oh my God, how rude. And she laughed. And I told her, I saved that to use on my kids occasionally, like when we're playing cards and stuff. And I think she got it, but still, what the hell? You idiot. Anyway, so I can't ever go back there again, but anyway, all is well, right? I pulled a somewhat of a prank on my girls on Saturday. You'll think this is funny or you'll think I'm the worst person in the world, but I'm going to tell you what happened. My niece Mia is getting married, and that's my sister Kara's daughter. And her bridal shower was Saturday. So the kids were home for it. The girls and I went, of course. Well, we helped with it and went. And they had already thrown her bachelorette party because they are the maid of honor and a bridesmaid. And so they'd already partied with her quite a bit. And they'd already given her their gifts at those that thing. But they were like, oh God, I don't have a gift for the bridal shower. So I was like, don't worry about it. I'll just put your name on my gift. Like, they've already spent hundreds of dollars. It's fine. Everything's fine. But they still were like not wanting to be tacky, right? So I'm like, no, I have a beautiful gift for her. I'll just put your name on it with mine and it's all good. But then I told Scott, we have an opportunity to do something really fucking funny because these kids have no idea what's in this gift. I'd bought her a really pretty nightie at Adam and Eve. So I wrapped that up and put my name on it. And then bought some really nasty sex toys. And wrapped all that up and put their name on So I don't know how you all do bridal showers, but in our neck of the woods, the bride always opens all of her gifts in front of everyone and holds them up and, shows them. And She opened my gift. She had received lots of lovely things and some kind of really soft core, kinds of gifts. Nothing like what came from Mars and Matea, who gave her the naughtiest gift at the whole bridal shower. So I'm sitting right next to Matea. And Mia picks up this gift and she's like, oh, this one's from Mars and Matea. And Matea looked at me funny because she thought we were giving her a gift from all of us, right? And then Mia opens it up and she's like, oh, I don't want to show that. And Matea knew immediately. She looked at me and said, what did you do? Anyway, most of it she just hurried and shoved into a gift bag. But the first thing was this long string of anal beads, and she just pulled it out. Oh, God. It was really funny. Mia's grandma thought it was the funniest thing in the world. She had to chase me down afterwards and tell me that was epic. But my girls were so... First of all, obviously they were like, I'm not that surprised. I should have known you'd pull something like this. But oh, you guys. The looks on their faces. Anyway, that's all. I know. The beat marches on with this crazy shit these kids' mother does to them. Anyway, so that's how my weekend was. Exciting news. The wildlife park is open. The one that I had a season pass to last year. Believe it or not, they open Saturday, and I have not had time to get there yet. I'm hoping to go tomorrow. We've just had a lot going on, and we're going camping this weekend for Memorial Day, and so there's a lot to do. But I'm hoping to go buy my season tickets and go visit them tomorrow and see all the baby buffalo. The baby bison should all be born by now. There'll probably be baby fox and baby wolves. Oh, well, fox kids and wolf cubs, if we're being correct. The bears will have slimmed down from how fat they were last fall when they were getting ready to hibernate. Oh, the baby deer. Oh, good God. I gotta go. No elk yet, though. The baby elk don't come for a while. Also, have you guys ever seen baby yaks? There's a yak farm not that far from us. And we go out there and just watch them sometimes for fun. And, oh my Lord, they're having babies right now. And it's the cutest damn thing I've ever seen. I was going to take pictures for you guys yesterday, but they've moved them from the pasture next to the road to one further in. And you just can't see them as well. But holy hell, they are so sweet and so cute. I am in love. I'm so in love, I Googled, what does it take to own a yak? Like, I mean, I've got pasture. I could have a yak. And I was like, lady, what the hell are you going to do with a yak besides hug and kiss it, Maybe that's enough. But anyway, it's great. My girls don't realize yet you're creating unforgettable memories. This is true. Unforgettable or unforgivable, one or the other. Maybe both. That was pretty epic. Anyway, we could move on to our topic. I know I'm all over the map today. There's just been so much happening. Okay. Well, I actually have a topic this week that I really love. So, a little bit of both, right? Suzanne said, and this is why therapists will never go out of business. No kidding. For Mia or them. Yeah. Oh, Lord. And by the way, Mia is the sweetest little bride you've ever seen. I'll be sure you guys get to see a picture after the wedding. But, oh my gosh, she's just so damn cute. And her little fiance, Tanner, is the cutest. We call him a golden retriever. He is the cutest, sweetest kid on the planet. He absolutely adores Mia. They're just a great little combo. it's all a good thing. It's a really happy thing in our family. And I'm just happy for that. You know, Mia, I did daycare for Mia. So I watched her when she was a newborn, clear up until she was two. She was in my care till her mom moved to another town for work. But yeah, all of my nieces and nephews hold a really special place in my heart. But I took care of Mia. So she's just near and dear to me in a really, really big way. So, and I have the honor, by the way, of being able to provide her hair and makeup services. I'm not doing them. Don't worry. That would be a disaster. I'm paying for them. But that's kind of fun, too, to get to be the girl who's paying for all the beautification of the bride. Kind of fun. All right. Well, let's get into our topic. So, you know, last week we talked about scents and the sacredness of smell and also smell memory and what a curious phenomenon that is. So today I wanted to carry that over into flowers, into the sacred world of flowers. The sacred language of flowers. Okay, fine. That's what I called it, not world. Speaking of flowers, the kids, we celebrated Mother's Day this weekend, right? Because they were all going to be home. And they planted all of my front flower beds, helped me clean out the flower beds, plant everything. Oh, put some new solar lights out. You know, just the beautification of the front yard. It's really nice. It looks really good out there. I just hope everything lives. We are just super cold. Okay, let's talk about flowers. Flowers have carried so many memories for me. So many memories. Thinking about flowers from weddings to funerals to graves to altars. We grow them, we press them. The smell of carnations. I was thinking about this the other day. The smell of carnations either remind me of a funeral or a high school dance. I can remember in high school receiving corsages, like the wrist corsage that you get for the high school dance, and then you have the boutonniere that you put on the boys, you know, and try not to poke your pin right into them. But carnations always make me think about high school dances. And then lilacs. The smell of lilacs for me are a huge reminder of my Grandma Betty. So my Grandma Betty was Depression era and didn't waste a thing. And so when Memorial Day came, she wanted to go decorate the graves, she would say, of all the folks. All the folks. So talking about her parents, her in-laws, siblings, you know, anyone that had passed of the family, the folks, as she called them, we would be getting in the car and driving all over the valley and placing our stuff on graves, right? Sometimes it was plastic flowers. She had lots of old plastic flowers that we'd go put on the graves, and then we'd come back a week later and gather all back up. I can remember how those smell too. Yeah. Like poison. But the other thing she would do is we'd go out and we would cut buckets of lilacs. And she had all of these, she had saved up jars and cans from cooking. And we'd sit at the kitchen table and we'd cover all of those jars and cans with tinfoil because we were fancy like that. This is what she did. And then we'd take those and a jug of water, and then we'd go to all the graves and we'd put out one of our foil covered cans or bottles, and we'd put all of our lilacs in them and give them a bunch of water. And that was what she left at the graves. Well, again, that and the plastic flowers. But I remember doing that with her for years and years and years. That was what she did. And then again, we would come back and we would gather that up after like a week or so after Memorial Day, and she'd take those back home. She wasn't a waster, that one. But the smell of lilacs really remind me of that. And then peonies. My Grandma Moore, my Grandma Lucille, had, I don't even know how many peonies. She had them all the way around her house, and that woman could garden. I've never seen anyone with a more prolific green thumb than her. And she had all these very old lilac or peony bushes, or are peonies bushes or plants? I think they're a plant. Peonies all the way around her house. My mom had peonies too, but she was always jealous of Granny Moore's because hers looked better than anybody's. They were gorgeous. At Grandma Moore's house, you didn't really play in the house. Kids weren't really supposed to come inside. Unfortunately, my great grandpa, her husband, Grandpa Moore, was a ticking time bomb of anger, and we were all quite afraid of him. And so, as an older man, he would sit in the house and watch TV, and you didn't go in the house. The kids were very much encouraged to stay away from Grandpa. I never even knew if he knew my name, to be honest. I can't think of a time when he ever, like, spoke to me directly. But outside, we can play in the garden, we could play in the peonies, we could play on the farm, and all the ladies would sit around and visit and enjoy each other's company outside of the disdainful gaze of Grandpa, apparently. But peonies just smell like her to me. Scott, every year we plant snapdragons in one of our front flower beds in honor of his Grandma Sharon. She loved snapdragons. They were her favorite flower. She had tons of them growing on her property, and so that's always his deal. Pink roses. My wedding bouquet was all pink roses. So whenever I see pink roses, that's what I think about. And then hollyhocks. When I was a kid, my mom had the whole side of our house was all hollyhocks. And they were hollyhock seeds she'd gotten from my Aunt Julia, from her patch, and planted them there. And we would go out there, and she'd taught us how to go, and she'd come out with us and take scissors and toothpicks, and you'd cut your toothpicks into little snips, and you'd take a bud of a hollyhock, and then you'd take a cut a bloom, and then you'd take a toothpick and you'd hook the bud to the bottom so that it was the skirt and the bud was the head, and they had this, like little plume at the top where it was getting ready to open, so it looked like a fancy little hat, and we'd make these fancy little hollyhock dolls and play with them. I remember doing that with my mom a lot. So anytime I see a hollyhock, that's what I think of. Point being, flowers hold a ton of memories. Many of you can think right now of a flower that anytime you see it, you think of a certain experience or incident or period in your life. Or a smell of certain flowers that remind you of a person or a place or a thing. But flowers carry a ton of memories for us. Flowers are symbols of love, grief, devotion, rebirth, fertility, healing, protection, and connection to the divine. You think about why we give people flowers. We give people flowers in moments of joy. We give people flowers in moments of grief, right? I mean, somebody dies, you send flowers. Somebody's in the hospital, you send flowers. Somebody has a baby, you send flowers. You piss someone off, you might send flowers. Somebody has a big accomplishment. Perhaps you send flowers, right? Flowers kind of span the entire emotional gateway of gifting. I think it's really interesting. So let's talk about the ways flowers have been used throughout time immemorial. In Hindu traditions, flowers are offered in daily worship, in pujas. Garlands of marigolds and jasmine decorate temples and statues of deities. And of course, the lotus. Lotus, You see the lotus come up in many different cultures and spiritual practices. But in Hinduism, the lotus signifies purity and enlightenment. As we know, the lotus rises from muddy water and blooms untouched above the surface and becomes this metaphor of spiritual awakening. I have a lotus tattooed on my arm for that reason. The message being, of course, that even in difficult or painful circumstances, beauty and wisdom can still emerge. In ancient Egypt, the blue lotus was associated with rebirth, the sun, and the afterlife. This lotus closes at night and reopens in the morning, mirroring the journey of the sun across the sky. So the Egyptians saw that as a sign of resurrection, of eternal life. And we see lotus effigies in tomb paintings, spiritual ceremonies, and sacred artwork. The lotus is prominently displayed in those ways. And then again in Buddhism, the lotus again appears as a sacred symbol. This time, awakening, compassion, and the path towards enlightenment. You think about that. The lotus is seen in many different cultures in some aspect of enlightenment. In Christianity, lilies are associated with purity and resurrection. In many indigenous traditions, flowers and flowering plants, of course, were used in medicine, cleansing rituals, and seasonal ceremonies. Flowers are always there in some way. Then, of course, flowers of grief and remembrance. Lilies are funeral flowers because they symbolize peace, innocence, and the return of the soul to something divine. In Mexico, marigolds are placed on Dia de los Muertos altars because of their scent and vibrant color. They're supposed to help guide ancestral spirits home. Rosemary has been symbolized as remembrance. Poppies, a symbol of war, memory, and sacrifice. Chrysanthemums, associated with mourning in many parts of Europe and Asia. So many ways that flowers we still use to speak for us. We still use flowers to be seen or to make someone else feel seen. How about in folk magic and spiritual tradition? Flowers appear constantly in folklore and folk magic. Lavender, most especially, maybe. It was and still is used for peace, purification, sleep, and protection. People tucked it into pillows, hung it in homes, and burned it in cleansing rituals. Chamomile was associated with prosperity and calm, and of course, was blended into a tea for that reason. St. John's wort was believed to ward off negativity and evil spirits. Hawthorn blossoms became deeply tied to Celtic traditions and fairy lore, and foxglove was always considered to be a fairy flower. Dandelions became symbols of wishes, hope, and communication with unseen worlds. I mean, how many of us as a child picked a dandelion that had gone to seed and made a wish while you blew away all the little seedlings, right? Somebody taught you to do that. And then someone else may have yelled at you for doing that because you were spreading the dandelions around. Let's talk about flowers, color, and the chemistry of emotion. We know that certain colors can change your mood almost immediately. A field of golden sunflowers is energizing. Lavender feels calming. Deep red roses feel passionate and intense. Right? Even walking into a flower shop can shift something emotionally before you consciously realize it. Every time I walk into a flower shop, I have this almost anxious shift in my chest, and I think it's honestly from memories of going to the flower shops to select all of the funerary flowers for, well, several family members. I've been involved in that process several times now. The smell of the flower shop takes me back there immediately. And I don't mean that I don't mean that in a sad way. It's just a memory, you know? But color and the way plants and their colors affect us is maybe as potent as the smell. So, as far as science is concerned, our brains are constantly reacting to color. Before you even consciously process what you're seeing, color is already influencing emotion, attention, memory, and even physical responses in the body. I mean, it's an entire science of itself to study what colors affect people the most in a retail space. What color makes you want to stay longer, buy more? What colors make you want to spend money, right? What scents do too, but what colors make you want to visit a restaurant? What colors make you feel comfortable in this space and want to be here? What colors speak of opulence and wealth? Some researchers believe that color perception developed partly as a survival mechanism. Sure, right? Early humans needed to be able to identify ripe foods, changing seasons, environmental threats, healthy landscapes, all of the things happening around them in order to stay alive. So some researchers think that that's why our brains have emotional associations with different flowers and patterns in nature is because of our more primal brain and that need to survive. So one of the chemicals often connected to pleasure, a motivation and reward, is dopamine. And dopamine, it's not exactly the happy chemical that people call it. I call it that. But it does play a huge role in an anticipation, emotional response, curiosity, and feelings of reward. So when you experience something that triggers those things, triggers dopamine, it could be things like seeing bright flowers, walking through gardens, experiencing vivid colors, smelling familiar floral scents, and interacting with nature. So, research literally shows that flowers can positively influence emotional well-being. In some studies, participants exposed to flowers report lower stress, increased feelings of compassion, and improved mood. That's pretty amazing. No wonder we give flowers to people that are in the hospital. There's some connection there with wellness, with helping people to feel better. So let's talk about different colors of flowers and what they could be associated with. Red. Red tends to stimulate attention and intensity. Red is associated with love, vitality, desire, courage, life force, and sacrifice. And then yellow and gold flowers. We're talking about feelings of warmth, optimism, sunlight, energy. Some flowers create feelings of happiness and openness. Yellow is connected to joy, hope, abundance, intellect, solar energy, and celebration. I mean, who doesn't love to receive a bunch of sunflowers? We have a patch of sunflowers that we plant every year around the front steps in honor of Mars's best friend, Abby, that was killed in an accident a couple of years ago, a few years ago now. And last year, those sunflowers just took over the front steps. We nearly just had to start using the back door for a while because they were just taking over the front steps completely. Some of them had even sprouted in front of the step and had taken over. And I just didn't have the heart to knock them down. So we were kind of weaving around the flowers until Scott had finally had enough and pulled the ones that were in front of the steps. But every time I see the sunflowers part, at least planted in my yard, I think about Abby. And the reason we planted sunflowers for Abby is because she was all joy and light and sunshine. So sunflowers will forever be Abby to me. So humans are naturally highly sensitive to yellow because it reflects a large amount of light and catches attention quickly. Why yellow is frequently used is a caution color and a color of things that need to be seen, like, school buses. Purple and yellow flowers, or sorry, purple and blue flowers. Is there a flower that makes you read better? So blues and purples tend to be calming, introspective, spiritual, and mysterious. Lavenders, lilacs, blue lotus, hydrangea, and violets all carry the softer emotional energy. And oh God, do I love hydrangeas. One of my absolute favorite flowers. They are so pretty. Can't grow them around here, but can buy them. These colors are frequently associated with meditation, intuition, spirituality, peace, dreams, and wisdom. White flowers. White flowers have a lot of sacred history through many traditions. Lilies, jasmine, white roses, magnolias all frequently appear in ceremonies tied to purity, mourning, healing, and prayer. White's associated with peace, cleansing, divinity, mourning, rebirth, and spiritual connection. White flowers, they're a little softer, they're a little more quiet, but they are very gentle and reverent. I would include daisies in that. I love daisies. Flowers, I think, affect us so deeply because they engage so many senses at once. You have the color that's doing something for you, whether you realize it or not, or are conscious of that or not. Perhaps the texture, the scent, memory, and symbolism of certain flowers. A flower can have layers and layers of emotional meaning at the same time. So, lavender could be calming your nervous system while also reminding you of someone that you loved. One of my old daycare kids told me years after I was done doing daycare that every time they smell lavender essential oil, they think of me because I always had lavender diffusing in my house or using like lavender lotion or whatnot on the kids. So lavender is my signature scent to that person. I always think that's really sweet that when they smell lavender, it makes them think of Miss Katie. Hopefully that's a good thing. Lavender, or sorry, a bouquet of roses might stimulate feelings of connection, affection, nostalgia, and beauty. This made me think about a kid in high school that I think when I was, I'm going to say a junior, because I think he maybe a sophomore. He did this for a few years while I was at the school. But he had noticed that on Valentine's Day that some girls would receive flowers, either from, someone they were dating or from a friend or maybe from their parents. But a lot of girls didn't, and that it hurt their feelings. And he didn't like that. So he bought enough long stem carnations to be able to give a carnation to every girl in the school on Valentine's Day. I mean, it couldn't have been cheap, and I'm sure his parents helped him with this, but when I was in high school, it was just a sweet gesture. Now that I am a lot older, I think about how much heart went into that decision of some random teenage boy to be like, hey, I don't like how this happens, this holiday that comes and goes, and all of these girls are left feeling sad. And I have to do something about it. Me, myself, and I. Right? So he and his mom would set up a table in the entryway of the school, the common area, with piles and piles and piles of carnations. And it was just a single carnation. They weren't wrapped. It was just a flower. And he would spend the entire day making sure that every girl in the school had received a flower, including all the teachers. But that was what he did. And he did that for a few years while I was there. So he must have been, yeah, I think this must have started my sophomore year. But I was thinking about that today, wondering, I wonder where that kid is now and what he's doing. Because what a huge-hearted gesture to do something like that. I mean, I know my school wasn't as big as some of the ones that you guys probably went to, but there was still probably, I mean, there were three grades in that class, 1,200. There were probably 600 or 700 girls in that school. But anyway, pretty cool thing. I've always thought that was really sweet. And all of the girls went home that day with a flower from somebody. Pretty cool. Okay. I was also thinking about how it used to be kind of more of a laugh, but how, you know, if you saw a man buying flowers for his wife, you'd wonder what he did. I don't know if that's such a thing anymore, but, you know, men giving flowers to their women to apologize for whatever potential misstep had happened. I don't know. All right, let's move on. So Kelly's article is called Crimes of Fashion in World War II. Really interesting stuff. She's talking about two different major fashion houses and the very different roles they played in the Nazi occupation in Europe. Absolutely read this article. It's so interesting. And then go listen to the podcast. Such interesting stuff and worth listening to. I really love how Kelly just keeps bringing more to us about women in history that I think most of us have never heard anything about. All right, my tip of the week is a language of flowers chart so that you have a great sense of what a lot of these flowers stand for or what their representation is. I thought it could be fun to consider, you know, building either a flower bed or a bouquet of flowers more intentionally, be it for yourself or for somebody else. And how you could use a chart such as this to be able to kind of lean into, hey, if this person is going through, you know, whatever they're, what's happening in their life, these are the flowers I want to give them, and this is why. I think it's kind of a fun idea to be more intentional, more intentional about flower giving. So I'm helping you out. Christy's energy exercise is the sacred journey of the heart. Of course, there's always more crime over at True Crime Squad. And lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And that is it for Luminous this week. So hopefully you found some gems in there. But those are things I was thinking about. Jane said, oh, Denise said, I love peonies and lilacs. Snapdragons might be my favorite. Yeah, peonies are perennials. I have a peony. See, I want to call it a bush, but I'm not sure if it's really considered a bush. I think it's not, but just a plant, I guess. I have a peony that I planted between my parents' headstone and my grandma's headstone. And It does really well at that cemetery. Every year I go out and clean it all up and count the blooms and see how we did, but that one has done much better than any peony I ever planted at my own house. I can't ever keep them alive here. I think I don't have enough sun, but my yard is just so shaded with the amount of trees we have. Jane said my mom had purple, bluish and white hydrangeas in her yard. We called them snowballs. They smelled yummy. Oh yeah. So good. I love that. Yeah. Yes, I wish we could dry or grow hydrangeas here. I don't think we're in the right zone. Yeah. Oh, Denise said a book called We the Women is a book by Nora O'Donnell. Okay. She was really excited about the women she researched, waiting to have time to read. Nice. I love it. We need more of that. You know, another flower that always really speaks to me are bleeding hearts. Again, all of my grandmas had bleeding hearts in their yards. Also, cannot grow bleeding hearts to save my life. We've tried and tried. Bleeding hearts are really special to Scott, especially, and we have tried bleeding hearts several times, but again, I think we just are too shaded for some of these plants that I wish we could grow, but I mean, I wouldn't trade my trees, so. Also, hard news on the bird front. Oh gosh. You guys. You know, I feed the crows and the magpies. But I also have a big feeder that I feed little birds in. And it's somewhat of a risk, obviously, because those bigger birds can be really naughty sometimes to the little birds. It's just unfortunately something that's a part of life, you know. But yesterday, Scott found a canary in the front yard with its eyes pecked out. I think the magpies did it. I'm pretty horrified about it. I mean, I know it is what it is, and but these are animals being animals, but damn it, why? Awful. But I have a new visitor to the little feeder, and I want you to meet him because he's so damn cute. And if anyone hurts him, oh, he's really little too. The picture makes him maybe look bigger, but he's tiny. He's this little guy right here. According to the online sources I could find, he's a bunting of some sort, probably an Azuli bunting. A Lazuli, sorry, a Lazuli bunting. Isn't he pretty? We only had him the one day and I was so excited, and then he hadn't been back, and then yesterday I noticed he was back in the afternoon and then again last night. And had brought a friend, so there were two. I think he had a little hen with him, but the hens aren't, you know, they're not this fancy. But isn't he beautiful? I know. I love my birds a lot. yeah, we have the little wild canaries, yeah. They're really pretty. But yeah, somebody murdered one. So boo on that. Anyway. Yeah. So I hate seeing that happen, but overall, I'm having so much fun watching those birds and both feeders. I think they're just wild out there almost all the time. And then the cat, because the neighbors have a cat. They have this old cat, and man, he is rough. He is super rough. They literally found him in a dumpster and rescued him. They took him to the vet. He had a collapsed lung. It was this winter, and it was we didn't get super cold, but it was cold enough, you know. And so they saved him, and he lives at their house, but he comes over here quite a bit. And he's white with like the tabby spots splashes on him, you know. I don't know his name. I call him DC. For a dumpster cat. That's what they always call him. Well, the dumpster cat. Well, anyway, DC is a super cool cat. And he comes over and lets me pet him and love on him. And he sneaks into the feeder and eats the cat food any chance he gets. And he kind of tries to stalk the birds, but DC is old and very slow, and he doesn't catch the birds. He just makes them a bit, he's an inconvenience. But still, DC has kind of become a part of the family out there because he comes over almost every day and comes to visit. But anyway, so the state bird of Idaho is the Rocky Mountain Bluebird. And Micah was telling me how much he would like to photograph them. They're pretty tough to find, but one of his best friends is an ornithologist. So he was going to take him up above the up into the mountains and up above Boise and see if they couldn't get into some mountain bluebirds. So I hope they do. That would be very fun to find. For pictures only, obviously, but yeah. I'm turning into a true bird brain. I can see it all. Anyway, guys, that's what I've got. So I thought it would be fun to just examine flowers a little bit closer and think about their true meanings and the ways they have survived in our cultures in lots of different ways through time immemorial. Don't forget that I am a professional psychic advisor over at onetolisten.com. You can find me over there every day doing readings and healings, animal communication, mediumship, and tons of energy work over at One to Listen as well. So if I can help you with anything, come over there and find me. Again, that's number one, number two, listen.com. And I'm Katie Weaver, and I'd be happy to help you out. So thanks for being here. I will be back next week, same place, same time. You guys have a good one. Take good care of yourselves. This has been yet another edition of the Katie Weaver Show here on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.